Okay, Chevra, if you'll just give me one more minute and then we'll begin the Mirtzah Hashem, we'll do it like that.
Rabbi Fine. Mr. Fine?
Yes.
Do you remember where you saw, did you hear Rabbi Zimmerman, what you were talking about, cold brew coffee?
Yes.
The other day? Did you hear that from him directly? Did you read that?
Yes.
Like,
yeah, from him directly.
Okay, fine.
He gave a shiur in Lenny of Odezura, and we talk about Bishlakum.
Okay. All right, because I was wondering, I was speaking to my chavrus about it afterwards. We wanted to see if we could look into it a little more, because we were wondering, we thought the Gemara implied, the Gemara has a case of, says that dagim ketanim, small fish, are mutter because they're not olal shulchan malachim, because that's one of the three cases, the three nafkaminas the Gemara gives between necho kamo shulchan and olal shulchan malachim. So according, let's say Rabbeinu Tam says, so all those three cases, it would not be Nechol Chai, but it's not all Shulchan Malachim, so it's Mutter. And, but the Gemara says that also Dagim Ketan, which was salted, says it's Nechol Chai. So it sounds like the small fish in and of themselves, if you didn't salt them, you wouldn't be able to eat them. It's only once you salt them that you'd be able to eat them. So we were wondering, even if you said that regarding coffee, you could cold brew it, but if, right, the coffee beans in and of themselves you can't eat, the fact that there's a way you could make it mutter, like by the fish, that you could salt it, so if you do that, so that's not bishul akum, but if the guy cooks that, shouldn't that be...
Coffee is roasted, but roasted coffee is not edible. You really have to be the brewer.
Right, so I was wondering why the fact that you could cold brew it would make it mutter. That, I guess that's all I was wondering.
Because you don't have to cook it. You just add cold water and then it's
right, but in the event that he did cook it, it should, meaning the same way if the guy cooks the fish, it's not called nechol chai because you never salted it.
Well, like carrots you get raw and you get cooked. So there's that bishlakum on carrots.
But you could eat the fish salted and or cooked. But it's only mutter if they're salted, not if it's not salted.
So again, according to this is what we discussed within the sheet of Tosfos, is that there are different types of dagim ketanim. Right? There's some dagim ketanim that are edible just the fish. And then there are other dagim ketanim which are not edible just ayyadeh. The salting. They're like Gedolim Ketzas. That's the Lashon of Tosfos, right? The Bach had a different distinction, but according to Tosfos Taka, there are different types of Dagim Ketanim, and some of them are edible, just Ayyidei Malicha, and some of them are not. And that is, sort again, if I understand your question correctly, I think that's the answer. If and that's what I was like responding to Dr. Fine yesterday, you know, are all types of coffee, or 2 days ago, whenever they are, all types of coffee shy of to be cold brewed. I'm not enough of a coffee.
I don't know either, but I think most coffee, if you put it in cold water long enough, it'll definitely give a flavor to the coffee and it'll be drinkable.
I think that's a very good svara. The ideas that we spoke about, you know, from the Pesachei Tshuva, quoting from the Pri Chodesh, etc., about, you know, why is it that beer is mutter in those 2 days? That's the way they made the connection. So I think your idea, again, assuming it's correct that all types of coffee are cold-brewed, so I think that's actually a really good insight. But again, if not all types of coffee are called brewed, so then I think it's the same as the fish. Okay, Chevra, I want to go on just in Simen Kuf Yudalid in terms of what we're up to. I believe we are up to Se'if Zayin. Kuf Yudal Se'if Zayin. So it says in the Mechaber that Shemen and Devash of Goyim are mutter. There's no Isser of Bishol Akum, and there's no Isser of Giyulei Akum. There's no Isser of Bishol Akum on the Shemen and the Devash. The Gemara tells me in two different locations, but Shemen and Devash are Ne'echal Kemoshu Chai. You could eat Shemen and Devash while it is Ruah. Now, this is a little interesting. The Gemara at the beginning of Perek Ketzad Mevarchim tells me that Shemen on its own is Azuki Mazik. No? You can't have Shemen on its own. There's a Shaila in the Rishonim, what happens if you have Shemen on its own? There's a Shver Rambam that you make a Shahakol. Most Rishonim assume that Shemen on its own is Mazik and it doesn't get any Bracha. Certainly the flavor of Shemen on its own would be a flavor that we would consider Necha Ayidei Hadachak, which was a machlokes Rishonim that we had in Kuf Yud Gimel, whether it's considered Nechal Kamoshu Chai. So how can the Gemara say as a Davar Pashat, and Shulchan Aruch endorse the idea that Shemen is called Nechal Kamoshu Chai, when Shemen, in the best case scenario, I'd say, is Nechal Ayadei Hadachak Kushu Chai, right? Like people in college fraternities drink Shemen on its own. But most people don't drink Shemen on its own. So that's
if it mixes with other things, it's drinkable.
So the Magen Avraham writes in Simen Reish Gimel that the Gemara then Ketzad Mevarchim says that Shemen, which is made in anigrain, axigrain, whatever, is okay because you're mixing it with mayim of trudin, etc. And that's a chiddush that the Magen Avraham has, which I think contributes an idea that we didn't know yet in terms of Nechal Kamoshu Chai. Nechal Kamoshu Chai can be something that's edible ruah, even if it's only edible ruah, Ayidei HaTarovis. Right? That, to me, I was like floored when I saw this chiddush this morning. The Magen Avraham has it in Simen Reish Gimel, whatever, I could try to dig up in my sperm.
Isn't that fundamentally the same as salting fish? You assume, right, against Rashi, you don't assume salting fisha, it's a nothing. So then, that's basically the same thing. You're saying this is mutter because you did something to it.
Salting fish is the pshat. The fish becomes nechal kamoshu chai because the fish is edible, al yidei a process that's not a bishul process.
Yeah.
Right? Here, one could argue that the shemen is never edible. It's just the meitrudin is edible. The beet juice is edible. The shemen is never edible. Kishma atzmai. Right? It's a little different than the case of the raw fish. The raw fish, the fish itself is edible. Over here, I could argue that's only the trudin that's edible. The Gemara discusses there in Ketzah Mevarchim, if you have aksigron or whatever it is, and you're having it l'refua, is it a rove of shemen? But even if it's a rove of shemen, it's only because the other stuff is a significant amount. If not, so I don't think you could eat the shemen kishela atzmo at all.
You can't eat the fish kishela atzmo at all either.
You can't.
You have to salt it.
Atzmo, but what I'm doing with the fish is a process that's akin to cooking it. Right? Maliach is karei seyach. It happens that for bishul akum purposes, it's not. It goes through some chemical process. Over here, it's just a taruvis. It's not going through a chemical process. I think that's the difference. I think that's the chiddush in this Magen Avraham there in Simen Reish Gimel. But the point is that Shemen and Devash of Goyim is mutter, and it's not an iser of bishul akum. It's also not an iser of giulei akum, meaning you don't have to worry that there was a treif pat that the shemen and the dvash were cooked into it. There is a machlekes harishonim, which makes it here in the page of Shulchan Aruch, is machlokas Rishonim as to why is there no iser of geulei nachra. Many Rishonim hold because stam kalim shel nachrim einam b'nei yomak, and that's the sheet of Tosfos. That's the sheet of all the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and that's how we paskin in Siman Kuf Chaf Beis. Stam kalim of goyim are not b'nei yomak, and therefore it's not a problem. You don't have to worry that the Kaili has shreif ben yomo. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Stam kalim einam b'nei yomak. The Rambam, however, famously tells me that stam kalim of goyim are b'nei yomak. The Rambam never entertains this idea, stam kalim einam b'nei yomak. Again, Tosfos says stam kalim einam b'nei yomak based on like a complicated svek sveka. No? That maybe they used the kei within 24 hours, maybe they didn't. Even if they used the kei within 24 hours, maybe they used it with a davar that is poge mitchilaso. He does not like that svek sveka. And the Rambam tells me that the reason why the shemen and the dvash is mutter is because basar or shuman, whatever treif the guy has in his pot, will mess up the flavor of the yayin, of the shemen and the dvash. If there's meat that's mixed with oil, that makes the oil worse. If there is meat that's mixed with dvash, that makes the dvash worse. So we know with these items that it's vadai mafsido. That's the way the Rambam learns. And again, this is all alluded to when you read the Shach and the Taz. The same idea comes up with Mayim. Mayim chamin shelohem is mutter. Cooked water, like the guy makes hot water, it's not a problem of Bishul Akum. Why not? So Rashi on the Gemara writes that there's no problem of Bishul Akum with Mayim because Mayim is not nishtanim ibriyasari deha'ar. No? That's the famous Rashi that we spoke about, that Rashi agrees with the Ran, by the Shachin, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Katan Aleph, says that maybe this is the halacha, even though Shulchan Aruch doesn't assume this way. But Rashi says that Mayim is not a problem because it doesn't undergo a change when you cook the Mayim. That's Shitas Rashi. The Lavush has a different reason. The Lavush writes that the reason why Mayim is not subject to the dinim of Bishul Akum and Giyule Akum. Most would say that there's no Bishul Akum by Mayim because it's Nechok Moshul Chai, the same as Shemin and Vash. Rashi has a different reason. How come there's no Giyule Nachrim by Mayim? How come we're not worried about the Treif Kalim? So the Shach over here quotes from the Levush that you're not worried about the Treif Kalim because the Shuman is play game the Mayim. If you have water that has a flavor of some fat or some meat in the water, so that's bad tasting water. And therefore, just like the Rambam said in terms of the Shemen and the Devash, that it's Vadai Pogmo, so over here also it's Vadai Pogmo. Zot the Shach, that this idea of the Levush is absolutely incorrect. You see, the Balei HaTosfos have a kasha in Chulin Daf Kuf, and elsewhere, the Shach refers to it in Chulin Kuf. It appears also at the end of Avodah Zarah. The Shach of how does Hechsher Kalim work? I have a Treifa pot, and then I boil water in the Treifa pot. So shouldn't that water itself become Treif? And then that water will Treif up the pot again, and it's Chayzer Chalila, Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya. Right? So how can you ever be machshir a pot? That's what the Balei HaTosfos say. So Balei HaTosfos, right, say, well, you know, if you have shishim in the mayim kenegdo, it's not going to be a problem. Okay, grand. Sometimes you have a gigantic pot that doesn't have shishim. How do you kasher in that case? If you wait to Eino Ben Yomo, grand. But the Torah writes, lo asu Torah ela kli ben yomo. And in Mochemes Midyon, presumably they're kashering Kalim which are b'nei yomon. So how does that work? So the Balei HaTosfos work very hard on this kash. And they say, if you hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no Chanan b'sha'ari surim, it's grand. But if you hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, that there is Chanan b'sha'ari surim, it's a problem. But the fact that the Balei HaTosfos works so hard on this kasha, says the Shach, indicates that Lavush is wrong. Because if the Lavush is right, that Basar b'mayim is for sure no same time with Gam, so that's the answer to the Kasha. How do you Kasha a pot? Teretz says it's no same time with Gam. So the Shach says, you see from here that that Basar b'mayim is not no same time with Gam, the Lavush is wrong. The Rambam's idea is only by Shemen and Devash. That for sure is Poyim, but it's not true by Mayim Adkan Divrei Hashach. Comes along the Pri Chodesh and those Tesvav. And the Pri Chodesh says, no, there's a difference between Mayim Habayim La'ochel and Mayim L'shtiyah. Mayim lishtia is taka nepach lepgam. If you ever drank water that has a little bit of basar flavor in the water, right? Kenmin brechen. You're gonna like, what's going on here? This tastes awful. But mayim that I'm using to cook something else with, I'm not drinking the water. Or like the Ran's case on Yudalid B'dapi Harif, the same time when the Ran speaks about the mayim not being subject to Giulei Nochrim, that's talking about I'm using the mayim to bake with after. In those situations, I'm using it for something else, so then it's not called no same time lefgam. That is the distinction that the Pre-Chodesh has, which is actually an interesting distinction, right? So it could be that mayim l'shtiyah is really no same time lefgam, and that's what the levush means. The Shach is proving from Hechsher Kalim that is not a situation of Nice and Tan of Gam. But comes on the base mayor and he says, whoa, 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 whoa. The Mishonim are bothered by this Kasha. Right? The Mishonim are bothered by the Kasha about how do you Kasha a pot. Maybe the Teretz is, it really is Nice and Tan of Gam and they're just going to use the water afterwards to drink it. Maybe that would be the Teretz. Says the base mayor, no, the Shach is right in his complete rejection of the Lavush. And the teretz that the Pre-Chodesh has for Lavush is incorrect. That is what we wanted to say in terms of Se'if Zayin. Okay, Chevra, any other Ha'aros? Right? The basic idea of the Lavush, I think, is an interesting idea, and the Pre-Chodesh tries to defend the Lavush, but Lamaisa, the Pashtus is, that basar into mayim is not no same time lefgam against what the Lavush said. Okay, let's go on. The Mishnayos in Avodah Zarah speak about that there are certain items of the goyim which are aser bahana'a. Other items of the goyim are not aser bahana'a. They are aser Ba'achila only. The Mishnah Chavtes speaks about the stuff that's also Ba'hanu'ah. Lamed Hei speaks about the stuff that's also Ba'achila. And then the Mishnah on Lamed Hei speaks about the stuff that's also Ba'achila. And the Mishnah on Lamed Tes speaks about the stuff that's Mamish Mutter Ba'achila. There's certain things that are Mutter Ba'achila as well. For some reason, the Shulchan Aruch lumps everything together. But it largely follows the sequence of the Mishnayos. So Kafrisin and Kaplutos. Kafrisin and Kaplutos. Kafrisin are basically the Shomer Lepri. Again, back to Ketzah Mevarchim. There is everybody's favorite caper bush. And the caper bush is, it has the Avi Yonah and the Kafrisin are like the outer shell of the caper berries. Kaplutos are leeks. Chagovim are grasshoppers. Again, we're talking about grasshoppers that have the simone kashrus. So if it's kovash, it's mutter, provided that the guy is taking out from his own stash that he has at home. But the goyim are selling it in the chanus, so then it's going to be a problem because we're worried shema zilef alehen yayin. Right? Maybe the guy sprinkled some wine on it. Ordinarily, I'm not worried, like in the case of Yayin Rimonim and Yain Tapuchim, you're not worried that the guy is going to mix wine into them if the wine is more expensive than the apple juice. However, over here, we are worried that the guy is going to be mezalef, a tiny bit of Yayin on the grasshoppers, because It's a tiny bit of yayin, and it adds a nice reyach. It will help with the cement, with the sales of the grasshoppers. So that's why it is a problem if you're buying it from the, if you're buying the grasshoppers from the chanus, because you're worried shema zileif aleihem yayin. Even if the wine is expensive, you're still worried shema zileif. Even if these things are rakim b'chein zaysim shalahem hakavushin mutarim, olives, right, are mutar. If you have a guy with who's selling olives, so it's mutter, or it's mutter to buy the olives that the guy has in his house. Even if they're very soft, you don't have to worry that the softness came because of the yayin or the chometz of goyim, which is a problem. That's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah Lamed text about shalachin, which means very soft olives that you just pull it and the pit of the olive comes out. Still, we're not worried shema zileif aleihem yayin. It's not a problem of shema zileif aleihem yayin by the olives. Ubilvad shelo yehu chatuchos b'sakin shalahem, provided that they don't cut the olive with a knife. If you cut the olive with a knife, so the olive is somehow a davar chorif. Davar chorif will be machlile l'shevach. Even if the knife is eno ben yomo, the davar chorif will reinvigorate the flavor of the treif flavor in the knife. And that's why it is going to be a problem on the zaysin. Now this issue, if you look in the Torah's Machlekes, the Sefer HaKshruma, the Torah quotes, says that the concept of a Dover Charif is not so limited. The Gemara only has Dover Charif by Kort Shel Chiltis. Right? There's one vegetable that is a Dover Charif. I actually bought it with my shear. There's some turn Astra, whatever. We know what Chiltis is. So I bought it from my share. We spent $4. We got it imported from India. And then like we had a test and we ate the chiltis. It's mamish shreklach. It is like the worst tasting stuff. And it has an aftertaste that could seriously last like 45 minutes. Like your mouth feels awful when you eat chiltis. So the Gemara says that korchel chiltis is machlele l'sheva. The Mishnayim discuss, is there any other... are there any other vegetables or fruits which are called the davar charif? It could be, it's limited to korch shel chiltis. The Rabbeinu Yechiel in the Torah in Sadivav, and over here the Torah in Kuf Yud Dalet quotes from the Sefer HaKshruma that onions are davar charif, and if onions are davar charif, hu hadin olives are davar charif. The Maharam of Rutenberg says in the Torah, I would fundamentally want to disagree with this idea of the Sefer HaKshruma. However, he writes, even though I paskin, excuse me, the Maram of Rutenberg, may Ikar HaDin holds against the Sefer HaKshruma, but Lamaisa, he paskins like the Sefer HaKshruma, but, and he's not Moche B'yad HaNohagin Heter. In other words, the Maharam of Rutenberg says, I'm not going to protest, because Me'ikar HaDin, we assume that olives and onions, olives and onions are the same, are Me'ikar HaDin, not Dover Charif. So therefore, I don't protest. But the Sefer HaKshruma says they are Dover Charif, and I pass them like the Sefer HaKshruma. In Shulchan Aruch, no one bats an eyelash. Everyone assumes that onions are Dover Charif. In Sadivav and over here, everyone assumes onion is Dover Charif. Although the Shach writes in Sadivav, Sifkat, and Yud Beis, that you can be mitzdarif, the shita, that onion is not davar charif when you have other sfeikos. And that's the basic issue. You know, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach is mesupik that stainless steel is not boleya at all. It could be that only the type of pots that they used to have really had liyas kalim. Our stainless steel is not boleya at all. There have been large articles in the Truman Journal and elsewhere that maybe stainless steel is not boleya at all. So I asked Rav Schechter, it could be that I could be makon every single davar charef shayla in Judaism, no? Because let's say it's an onion. I cut the onion with a clean knife. We're going to see in a minute that the fact that the knife is clean, some Rishonim hold there's no din of davar charef. Many Rishonim hold, they didn't Rashi hold. So the din of davar charef is only when you have shamnunis on the sakin. But a clean knife, there's no davar charef. So I have the fact that it's an onion is one safek. The fact that it's clean is another safek. The fact that it's stainless steel and maybe there's no bliya is a third safek. So it could be that it could be make on every single davar charef shayla in Judaism. I thought this was awesome. This is like my best idea. So Shechter told me I'm taka right, but I shouldn't tell this to Balabatim. When they ask a shayla about an onion, you should still pask in the traditional psak, the onions that are cut with a fleshik knife or fleshik, etc. I shouldn't have this razzle-dazzle thing. A couple of months ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I went to the Kiddush in Rav Nevinzal's house, and I asked Rav Nevinzal the same thing. So he said, efshar. Again, in other words, I think there is room. This idea that Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it could be that stainless steel is not boileh, as quoted as a suffix, and there's a book on Yeredeya, the Megillah Sefer, which is a Gevaldika book. The Megillah Sefer quotes this idea from Shlomo Zalman as well. But the Kitzur HaMa'aseh, Shulchan Aruch over here is assuming as a Dover Pashut that olives are a Dover Charef. They are not even entertaining this idea that according to many Rishonim, olives are not a davar charif. And that's what the Rama writes. Since it's charif, it's boileya from the sakin, etc. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The Taz over here writes, fascinating Taz, an ice yud aleph. The Taz, I think, is quoting the wrong shita. The Taz quotes Rashi. That the din of davar charef is only on the dirty knife. No? Right? The Taz writes, it's osur mishum shamnunas hasakin. That's what the Taz writes in Osir Aleph. Very difficult, this Taz. Because we pass in la'alocha that davar charef is even if it is a clean knife, right? But it's going to be machli leila shevach. Rashi, who holds that there's davar charef on only on the dirty knife, that's because Rashi holds like the sheet of the Ra'ah, that a davar which is be'en can also become nice and tan lafgam. If I have let's say I have a tiny, tiny bit of meat, tiny, it's be'en. This stuff, is that nice and tan lafgam? So the majority of Rishonim assume that the din nice and tan lafgam is shaykh only on bleels. But you have something that more than 24 hours, a tiny bit, if it's be'en, it's a problem. Rashi doesn't hold that way. Rashi has a gear, it's a gear issue in the Gemara Lamites. Is it Agav Shamnu Nisa, the Sakina, Machlile L'Shavach? That's where Rashi has it. That's only the Shamnunis, right? So it's only on the dirty knife. But if not for the fact that it's Chiltis, it would be nice and tan lefgam because a dirty knife itself could be Pogam according to Rashi. The Shach quotes the normal Shittas in Judaism. For some reason, the Taz over here quotes the Rashi, Davarza Ani Lo Mevin. How come he would quote Rashi? Oh.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Perhaps just that you were saying that according to Rashi, no Sintam Lufgam can exist on a food which has been or cannot.
Can.
It can, right, okay.
Because Rashi has to say that the Shamnun is only reinvigorated because it's Chiltis.
Right. I think he also explicitly says that in the Gemara's later in Avodah Zarah, the deal with Nosei Talmud of Gam.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, right. I thought, great.
That's the Shita of Rashi, which is like the Shita of the Ra'ah in the Taras Habayis, which is not mainstream Judaism. Oh, now, so olives are a davar charef. If the olives are nichbishu, if there's kavush on the olives, so says the Ramah, since they add mayim to the kavisha, in other words, it's not just that it's nichbishu in the kalim of the goyim, in which case you'd have to be worried that maybe there is some chometz of yayin or the like, but since they also add mayim to the kavisha, so therefore it's not so charif, and therefore it is going to not be a problem. Olives that are soaking is soaking in, let's say, vinegar mixed with water. It's not called charef because the vinegar is mixed with water. Ad kan divrei haramla. So now, let's go slowly. You cut an olive with a knife, the olive is a davar charef. But when it's soaking, it's not charef. Comes along the shach, and the shach writes, when we say that the olive is a davar charef, it doesn't mean a raw olive. When we say an olive is a davar charef, it means an olive that has already been soaked. It has already been, how do you say it? The olive has already been pickled. That's when the olive is a davar charef. But a raw olive is not charef. Comes along the Dagom Erevava. The Dagom Erevava says, my dear beloved Shach, I don't know what you're talking about. Because if you tell me that a raw olive is not a davar charef, only a pickled olive is charef, but don't we say in the next line in the Ramah that since the pickling involves mixing it with water, so it's no longer charef? So Dagom Erevava says, I have a stira in the Shach. Now it happens that this same halacha appears in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim in Simen Tuf Mem Zayin with respect to chametz. Do you have to worry that the olive was cut with a chametz sticker knife? And over there also, we have a distinction between a pickled olive and a non-pickled olive. The Tor writes over there that the case is talking about mamish, a raw olive, an olive that just comes off the tree, that is also a davar charef. Not only, right, so that's against the Isser v'Heter that the Shach is quoting. The Shach is saying that a raw olive is not charef. And then the Dagom Erevava has his stira in the Shach, which we'll have to answer in 2 minutes. But the Tor totally disagrees. The Tor says a raw olive, right, I'm not teaching, right, when the Rebbe went with plain a kinderlach, right, I'm not teaching the aleph base. It's an olive, not an aleph, right? But a raw olive, according to the Tor, is charef. According to the Isser v'Heter, a raw olive is not charef. Years ago, when I was learning the beginning of Erevin, so the Gemara over there has a famous agarata that Rashi quotes in Chumash. The Amra Yona Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiyu Mizonosai Merurim Kizayis Biyodecha, and not sweet Biyad Basar Radon, right? Remember, the Yona is sent out by Noach, and it takes an Alei Zayis Taraf Befiha, Zot the Gemara, that the Yona said, I'd rather have food which is Marur Kizayis, that the Eibishter gave me, rather than food from a Basar Radon, which is not Marur, which is not bitter. So I thought the pshat in that Gemara indicates that the Yona is taking a raw olive. No, it's not a pickled olive on the tree. Right? That doesn't exist. So you see from that Gemara, I thought that a raw olive is also charef, like the Tor against the Isser v'Heter. But I remember Rav Schechter sent me to an article that there was a journal called the Geshar Journal, which preceded the Torah Madden Journal. And someone wrote an article in the Geshar Journal years ago about whether horseradish can be used for murr. And one of the points he makes is that in halacha, there might be a difference between stuff that is charef in the sense of sharp and stuff that is murr in the sense of bitter. And horseradish, it could be it's charef, but it's not murr. Right? There are different type of, right? Well, there's a whole Torah about like the different flavors that the palate can absorb, no?
Yes.
Sharp and bitter are two different flavors. So it could be that the idea of davar charef maybe doesn't apply to something that is maror, or perhaps das kufa is the machlokas between the Torah and the Isser v'Heter about whether a raw olive is considered charef. Okay.
I don't think raw olive is edible.
So I think
it's very bitter. It tasted 1 month. So they couldn't swallow it.
You can swallow it, or you can't?
Couldn't. It was too bitter.
So that's the question. If I have a raw olive that...
You have to salt it.
If you just pull it off the tree, it's too bitter. That you can't even swallow it. And the hanami. Is that considered charef or not? So maybe that gufa is the machlokes between the tour and the iser v'heter, right? Maybe the iser v'heter is saying a raw olive is mamish, bitter, you can't eat it, and morer is not the same as charef. Why are you cutting it? I'm cutting it because I want to pickle smaller olives. If the olive
no, there's a difference in the olive itself, the raw olive. Depends how old he is, that olive. When was he picked off the tree? When he was fully ripe or when he was partially ripe? And if he was fully ripe, some of them become black and more edible than the others. So there's a kind of a gauge over here for olives. You'll excuse me, Rav Israel.
No, it could
and,
be.
And I don't know what you mean by raw olive, but you have to assume...
I'm just saying raw olive in the sense of non-pickled. I know there's a machlokes tur and iser v'heter. What you're suggesting is that maybe there are different types of olives, and some of the olives, when they're raw, if they are old enough, they taka, are not so bitter. Okay, Kensai, I don't know. I don't claim any expertise in what the olives taste like. Now let's just go back. The Dogo Merivava Frekta Shaila on the Shach. Shach, you're telling me that only a pickled olive is a Dover Charef, but doesn't the Ramah say that a pickled olive, it's not Charef anymore because they add water? So the Dogo Merivava distinguishes between how much water they add. If they add a lot of water, it's not Charef. If they add a little bit of water, it is Charef. Okay, I don't know. I'm not an olive maker. The Mishnah Brura there in Tuf Mem Zayin, I believe it's Sifkat and Pei Gimel, the Mishnah Brura says that first what they do is they pickle the olive in a mixture of vinegar and water, and then somehow they pour the water off. And once they pour the water off, so then it's no longer charef. Now, this seems to me to be a tremendous kunst. I don't know how it's possible that you have a liquid, a mixture of, vinegar and water, and somehow you're able afterwards to separate the water from the, from the vinegar. I don't know how to do it. The Lashon Mishnah Berurah is, B'shas HaKavod.
Maybe he means that you pour the liquid off and you add pure vinegar.
Right, so maybe there's a different stage. Again, I need to speak to a olive maker, a pickle man. You have to speak to Gus, right? And Gus will paskin these shilas for us in terms of the status. When I learned these demons through Schechter, so we spoke about how olives are the same as onions and their charifos status is subject to machlokas harishonim. So if Shechter quoted, there's a mesorah from Reb Chaim Valozhiner that there's a difference between onions with like a black coating, which are a davar charif, and onions with like a yellow coating are not charif. And Reb Shechter told me that he felt maybe you can rely on this as a suffix. In other words, that maybe if someone calls you with a shayla that I cut an onion with a milchik knife and I roast it in a frying pan, etc., in a fleshik frying pan, like the most common shayla that rabbonim get. So I had my triple suffix to be mako based on my stainless steel, the Reb Shlomo Zalman. Stainless steel maybe is not boleya. It could be that Reb Shechter says, I don't remember if he said that Reb Salvechik used to say this or not, but that maybe you could ask the Balabatim, tell me, what was the color of the olive? What was the color of the onion peel? Was it a black onion or was it not a black onion? Now, again, one thing I can tell you is that red onions are talking not as sharp as yellow onions and white onions, no? I do think it's kedai to try to figure it out. Right? There is a certain sharpness scale. To try to figure these things out. Don't know. I don't know exactly what to do with these dinim. Chiltis, right? The Rishonim say that horseradish is even stronger than chiltis. First of all, I have eaten raw horseradish, right? A chunk of horseradish you could eat, right? Abba, you could eat it at the Seder, a chunk of horseradish, it's possible. You cannot eat a chunk of chiltis. It is physically impossible. So I don't know exactly when the Shach there in Simin Tzadivov discusses that horseradish is definitely sharper than chiltis. I don't know exactly what it means. Okay, weiter, Se'if Tes. Se'if Tes talks about Anovim. But again, this is all in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about Duvdanios. That's a Lashon in the Mishnah. And Duvdanios in the Mishnah, Rashi understands, means some sort of grape that has ripened to a large extent, and it has ripened so much that grape juice begins to ooze out of it. The Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah has a different approach to Duvdanios. The Rambam is saying that Duvdanios is like a different fruit. Okay, but be it as it may, Shulchan Aruch paskins that grapes, anovim, afilin hin lachos habe, adshe minatvois is mutaros. V'chein kol ha-kvoshim shein darkon losis ben yayin b'chometz, v'chein taros. Okay, so first of all, grapes that have juice that comes out, as a matter of halacha, it's not called wine. Juice that oozes from a grape is not called wine. That's part of the Mishnah as understood. In order to make something wine, you need to do some process of hamshacha. Hamshacha basically means that you're squeezing the grape, and then the grape juice like pours down, and it goes into a vat, into a gas, etc. That's the din. If the grapes are soaking for a long time in a lot of juice, do you have to be worried that there was hamshacha or not? So the Achronim here on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, the Erech Lechem, say that if you live in a Muslim country, so there's no kshash of avodah zarah, so you don't have to worry that's a problem. But if you live in a Christian country, you have to worry that if the grape is soaking in a lot of juice, that maybe they did hamshacha, and maybe that made it halachically like yayin, and maybe the grape is treif. Okay, but pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is that grapes, even if they're very wet, even if they're soaking in the grape juice, in the grape ooze, that is going to be permitted. V'chein kol ha-kvoshim sh'ein darkon losis bem yayin b'chometz are all mutter. Any kvoshim, any pickled item that they don't put yayin and chometz into it, so all these things are going to be mutter. If you know they don't put wine into it, it's mutter. V'chein toris she'ena trufa. Taras she'ena trufa means that if you have a fish that comes, right, the Perush over here in the Shulchan Aruch says it's a fish called tunina. Others say Rashi has a different word for the fish, for the taras. But if you have taras that's not completely ground up, so you could see the head of the fish. You can recognize the fish as a kosher fish because you see the head. So it's going to be mutter. V'chein tzir shel dagim sheyesh bo kulkis. The Mishnah uses a lashon kilbis, not kulkis. Basically, there is a fish. According to Rashi, it's a treifa fish. According to the Ritva, it is a kosher fish. This fish only can swim in the tzir. It can only swim in the fish brine of a kosher fish. it can swim in the fish brine of Schrafer fish. So if you have a kilbis, it's going to be mutter, the tzir is permitted. V'chein ola shel chiltis is mutter. The ola shel chiltis is the leaf of the chiltis. That's mutter because it could be only the root of the chiltis is a davar charif. It could be also a different mahalach that the ola shel chiltis was never cut. They would pull it out of the ground, just like horseradish, according to many of the Rishonim who discussed the Shaila of horseradish. The root requires like a knife to get to it, or a hole to get to it, to dig it out. But the leaves, you can just pull out bigadayim, and therefore you don't have to worry that it was nechtach with a sakin, and therefore the ola shochotis is mutter. So again, so the Mishnah on Lamed Tes, that's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch, says the grapes are mutter, the taras shena trufa is mutter, the tzir is mutter, etc. However, in Se'if Yud, you have a court shochotis, which is going to be a problem. We noted the Shveritaz, who quoted Rashi. And taras terufa is if you have a fish and you can't really identify it anymore because it's so ground up. So it's not nikar. You can't identify it with your tevius ayin. So the fish is going to be usser in that case. That is the din of taras terufa. Now, why do I say it is usser midrabbanan? The Mishnah writes a whole list of stuff, Mishnah Lamed Tes. These are the things that the Chachamim say are mutter, and other stuff is usser midrabbanan. Taras terufa, Pashtus is its usser midrabbanan. L'chayrit should be an isser d'oraisa, because dogim are only kosher if you could recognize the simanim. If you can't recognize the simanim on the dog, it is going to be usser. That's a din d'oraisa, no? The last pasuk in Parashas Shmini, v'hivdaltem bein ha-behema ha-tahora la-tameya. There's a mitzvah min ha-toira to identify the species, to identify the simonim. Rashi writes over there, it doesn't mean the difference between a chamar and a narod. That's a davar pashat, right? That to identify the species, it means the more involved, the things that require greater discernment to recognize. That's a din of a hivdaltim. The Rivash writes in the tshuva that everyone quotes that there's a din d'oraisa that you have to be able to identify the simanim. So taras terufa l'cha'ira should be a problem min ha'taira, because the Rivash writes, if you don't know the simanim, then the Torah says that there's a mitzvah. So Rivash is in Kuf Tzadi Beis. If Shechter quotes this in his article on Tuna on page 63, the Torah says you have to check for the simanim. So unless you identify the simanim, it's aser min ha-taira. So Torah's trufa should be aser min ha-taira. The next din is chilek. Chilek, the Mechaber tells me, are certain types of small fish that have other fish which are dag tame that's mixed into them. You can't separate the dag tame from the chilek. So it's aser midrabbanan. Shouldn't it be aser min ha-toira? So comes along the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin. And the Chelkas Binyamin writes, it's in Siyunim Os Kuf Samach Daler and Os Kuf Samach Aleph, that Min HaTorah Tevias Ayin helps. Just like we know by Meseches Bava Metzian, Eil Metzias, there's a difference between Simonim and Tevias Ayin, no? If I have a particular aspect of an item, I could tell you that my pen has a scratch on it. That's Mamash HaSimon. But there are certain times that I know it's mine. Why? I can't identify any particular aspect of it. I just have a general tzviyas ayin. So the din in Eilam Metzius is that we don't believe most people tzviyas ayin, but a tzur ben rabbanon, a young Talmud Chacham, right? These are like the first gemaras that you learn when you're in fifth grade. A tzur ben rabbanon, you believe with tzviyas ayin. So says the Chelkas bin Yamin, that the cases over here, when we say that the Torah is trufa and the chilek, when we say that this is only usur midrabbanon, it's not usur min haTorah, even though the Rivash says that you have to identify the simanim, maybe it's usur midrabbanon because you have a tevius ayin. That's what the Chelkas bin Yamin says. In Rav Shechter's article about the tuna fish, Mamish, everything comes back to tuna, no? In Rav Shechter's article about the tuna fish, so he has a long birur where he discusses the different types of rov in halacha. There could be a rov that's 51%. A rov that's 51%, we pass in ruba v'chazaka lav ruba adif. Such a rov doesn't really win. You have a rov that echveis is 75%, or right, 80%. Such a rov like that, so we pass in that you follow the rov. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba is adif, right? We pass in ruba v'chazaka lav ruba adif if it's a rov garua, if it's 51%. 75%, 80%, so we pass in the rov does win. Sometimes you can have a rov that is more than 90%. 10% is assumed to be a miyat hamotzi. 10% you have to do a bedika. Right? If it's a rov of larger than 90%, so you don't even have a miyat hamotzi kenegdo. So in those situations, lemaisa, it's going to be kosher entirely. You don't have to worry about it at all. Even if you could do a bedika, you don't have to do a bedika if you have that type of strong rov. Then sometimes you could have a rov that's even stronger than that. We have a sheet of Reb Meir, who ordinarily is choshesh lemiyut. Reb Meir, the Balei HaTosfos say, is not choshesh for miyuta dimiyuta. So let's say it's 98%. So even Reb Meir wouldn't be choshesh for that. So that is even a stronger rov than that. And then I have a rov that is so, so super strong that it's echad mini elef, that there's going to be a problem. So such a rov that's echad mini elef, so then even the Rivash would say, this is Rav Shechter's argument, even the Rivash would say, if it's such a strong rov, so you don't have to identify the simonim. Since we know that the fishermen don't have a tray fish with their tuna, even echad mini elef, so you don't have to worry about the Rivash, that there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, din doi reis, that you have to identify the simanim. It's going to be kosher no matter what. Wow. That's Rav Shechter's mahalach over here. So lemaisa, we solved the Rivash's din doi reisa that I need to identify the simanim. But I still have a problem that there's a din d'rabbanon that's found in the Mishnah called chilek. No? The Mishnah says that the chilek is aser midrabbanon. That's what the Mishnah writes. So how can the tuna be kosher? Don't you have to worry that there is a chshash of chilek, which the Mishnah in Lamed Hei Amud Bei says it's aser ba'achila. And Rashi over there writes, Rashi in Lamed Hei Amud Bei says that chilek is echad mini elef, right? That's Rashi's Cheshbin, that there's going to be one tray fish mixed into the kosher fish, a echad mini elef, it happens. But it's still aser midrabbanon. So how can the tuna be kosher? Don't you have to worry about the din derabbanon of echad mini elef by the chalek?
I don't understand. Who says tuna and chilek are the same thing?
So I don't know if tuna and chilek are the same thing. But I know that there's an Isser D'Rabbonon. Remember, I'm solving the Rivash's problem. How come there's no Din D'Raisa to identify the Simonim? Teretz is it's Echon Mini Elef. But I have a problem with respect to some sort of fish called chilek. Right? It says that even echad min the elf is a problem. That Azoi Shreibt Rashi.
Right, but that's because, meaning it's just a kasha because don't you say that you're machmir midraban even for echad min the elf?
Nachon.
Oh, okay, fine.
Right? Yeah. I see from the din of chilek that I'm machmir midraban on echad min the elf, so the tuna should at least be treif midrabanan. So that's the problem. So Rav Shechter has a few mahalachim. One mahalach that he has is that there's a din of chilek umen that it's kosher. But we spoke yesterday about the din of umen lomara umnase. There is a din in the Gemara that chilek umen is kosher. If the professional tells you that there's no tray fish over here, it's okay. The Beis Yosef is bothered by Akasha. How come the Torah never quoted this din that chilek umen is kosher? But it is a din. It's a Gemara. You can't ignore it. So it could be that the fishermen are considered an umen, and it's no worse than chilek umen, which is kosher. That's one mahalach that Rav Shechter has. It's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Who cares? It's in the Gemara. Right? Beis Yosef said it should be in Shulchan Aruch. Good enough for me. That's one mahalach. Rav Shechter, though, has another mahalach, which is the pashtus, exactly what the shach over here means in Os Tes Zayin. What exactly is chilek? So the Mechaber tells me it's mine dogim temeim, which are me'uravim, mine dogim, which are me'uravim with dogim temeim. Zuck the shach, that I'm talking about fish that do not have snapper v'kaskesas now. Later on, there are certain fish that when they get older, they have snapper v'kaskesas. When they're very young, they don't have snapper v'kaskesas. Rav Shechter assumes that swordfish is kosher for this reason. No? That swordfish, at some point, they grow scales, whatever it is. But you have dogim that don't yet have their snapper v'kaskesas. And these dogim are mixed with the dog tummy. So in that situation, this is exactly what the Shach learns. Ein lahem kaskeses v'asidim legadol achar zman. Such a fish me'ikar din is mutter. But because the fish, which right now looks treif, it doesn't have kaskeses, but right now there's a dog tummy that's mixed into it, so therefore we're machmir. The din of chilek does not apply, says Rav Shechter, to a fish which has its kaskeses right now. Right now it's nicker as a kosher of fish. The din of chilek is only ne'emar on fish which right now don't have their scales. Again, that is the, right, that's the mahalach that the, that Rav Shechter has. Again, you have the din of chilek umen, and you have this idea that the shach is alluding to, that it's only true on fish which right now don't have kaskeses, and therefore there's a much greater likelihood that it might really be treif. Only in this situation is it din d'rabbanan that we're machmir on the chilek, and therefore that doesn't apply to the tuna. Okay. Now, if you have kvashim that yayin goes into it, so these kvashim are going to be usr, that's the hemshech of se'if yud. The Ramah has a complicated din. It will take me too long to go through the Ramah in se'if yud. So b'li neder tomorrow, I want to finish se'if yud. I want to finish the simen, and we'll talk about it on Amir Tashem tomorrow. But what we've done today, again, everything comes back to tuna fish. We've done today is we spoke about the din d'rabbanan of chilek. Again, you don't have to say what Rabbi Yamin Cohen says, that you have a tfiyas ayin. It could be that there's no tfiyas ayin at all. Taurus trufa. It's very hard to assume there's a tfiyas ayin. It's all mixed together. It's all ground. It's very hard to assume there's a tfiyas ayin. Nonetheless, I think these are the halachas. Okay, Chevra, any questions or comments or observations?
Can I go back to the cold brewed coffee issue?
Yeah, filtered coffee, yes.
Okay, so Rebbe had mentioned that, well, Tosis is machalic between two different sized dogim. But Tosus only says that to explain how you have a fish, which is olal shulchan malachim.
Correct.
So, but...
No, but it's also mavur in the Tosfos that the melicha does not help on these dagim gedolim. If I have dagim which are ketanim, so then salting the fish makes it nechal kamo shulchai. But if I have a larger fish, so because the fish is larger, the salt won't soften that fish up enough, so that's why it becomes a problem. Again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's discuss this. Let's maybe you could WhatsApp me. We can discuss this later.
Okay.
I think the distinction in Tosfos might also solve your question on Rav Zimmerman's Mahalach of cold brewed coffee. Okay, Chaver. So Blin Eder will continue tomorrow. Kol Tov.
Thank you.